through your Holy Spirit. We pray right now for Pastor John, and we lift him up. And we ask, Lord, that the eyes of our heart would be opened, that we could behold wonderful things out of your word, that we would correctly understand it and interpret it, but even more than that, act upon it. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. Bless this word, we ask, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Well, as you know, all throughout this past year, we've been talking about knowing God, getting to know God. And hopefully we've been getting closer to Him and getting to know Him in a deeper way. That's the goal. That's our goal. That's what we desire for all of us. And one of the things that we learn as we get to know someone is, what do they stand for? You know, what would they fight for? What's really important to them? What do you believe in enough that you would be willing to fight for it? You ever think about that? What would I be willing to fight for, even to die for? What do we believe that God would have us take a stand for? To have us fight for? Or to fight against, maybe? If we really get to know God, what happens is we get hold of His heart. We begin to understand His ways, His thoughts. And if we're led by His Holy Spirit, then He will show us, He'll lead us, and to that point, to that place where we should know when we're supposed to take a stand. It's been very interesting watch. There's been a story that's been unfolding over the past couple weeks, actually down in Kentucky, down in Rowan County near Lexington, Kentucky. In case you missed it, there is a county clerk down there by the name of Kim Davis. And she has decided to take a stand against homosexual marriage, which in her state is actually against, on the books, it's actually still against the law. So she refused to sign this marriage license because she believes that the Supreme Court doesn't have the right to make law, which they're not supposed to, only to interpret it. And their law, their state, is very clear. So she felt that they had no right to overrule her religious rights or her religious beliefs, her religious freedom. So, in her, in fact, she even said, where does it say in our Constitution that homosexual rights or any kind of sexual rights, and think about this, where does it say in our Constitution that any kind of sexual rights are more important than our religious freedom? Because if you know about our Constitution and all the things that led up to it, it was the reason they came here was for religious freedom. And now because somebody decided to take a stand for religious freedom and said, I'm not going to sign this because it's against my beliefs, I don't feel comfortable doing it, she's now in jail. She's sitting in jail. She's already been in there for days. And she said, I'm not giving in. I was elected. You can't fire me. And that's true. They can't fire her. And the judge said, until you agree to let your sign this marriage or let your clerks do it without a problem, you're going to stay in jail. She said, fine, then I'm in jail. I'm not giving up. Well, the interesting thing is that while this has been going on, now there's all these different people that are getting stirred up. People have been sending in money to fight for her legal defense. Another clerk in her neighboring area has now said he won't sign them. And in another state, five or six clerks said they're not going to sign them. And so I don't know where this is going to end up. But we're having a struggle here. We're having a fight here, a battle between religious freedom that we came here, that our Constitution is founded on. It's one of the very first things, freedom of religion, against sexual freedom, to do any kind of sexual freedom that we should have. Others want to be able to do any kind of sexual thing that they want, and they're trying to say that that's in the Constitution. I never saw it. So this is the battle. That's the line that's there right now. And somebody has finally decided to take a stand because our government is not. Our courts are not. Well, some of them have. but they haven't pulled it off yet. So we're going to see how this plays out in the future. There are so many things in this world that will come against Christians. And if you haven't noticed it yet, there is a war against Christianity. Especially over in the Middle East right now, they'll take your head off. And it's not only happening in the Middle East, there is a war against Christianity that's slowly growing throughout all the Western culture. So any time that we want to move forward, whether it's moving forward as a Christian or moving forward even in most things, we're going to find that there's always some kind of resistance. It's hard to move forward sometimes. Whether it's in the natural or the spiritual realm, whenever we try to build or grow or move forward, in any way there's going to be some type of hindrance, some type of resistance, something that we have to fight against. Because of that, we have to have the will or the determination to take a stand and fight for what we believe in, or in particular, for what we believe that God would have us do. There's a story in the book of Nehemiah that illustrates this point, and it shows how things can come against us as they came against Nehemiah and his group. And in that story, we see how they learn to prepare themselves emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And it also shows how God helped them and gave them victory. So I'm going to read a little bit out of Nehemiah chapter 4, starting in verse 6. It says, "So we rebuilt the wall." Nehemiah had felt he had been called by God, and he had to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall of the city that had been broken down. And he was very sad when he saw the ruins of the city and the wall. So he was going back to rebuild the wall. This is the story about what happened there. "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. For the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were angry." See, now here's the first type of, you know, disruption, the first type of resistance. There's some people out there who don't like what's happening because they're afraid of the Israelites, because they knew in the past they had become very strong. So they're worried now. They see these walls going up, and they're getting worried. So they all, in verse 8 it says, "So they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it." So what did they do? What did the Israelites do? What did the Jews do? "But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet the threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said..." Now, this was some of the people. They were getting scared. "So they said, 'The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble, we cannot build the wall.'" Now, they're seeing the work, and they're, "Oh, my gosh, this is more work than we thought." And here now is where they're getting scared. "Also, our enemies said..." And this is them saying what their enemies said, but they had heard them saying, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work." So now they think, wow, we're going to get killed. This work is too hard, and we're going to get killed on top of that. And here's these other guys coming over and saying they're going to stop it, and they're causing all kinds of trouble. "Then the Jews who lived near them, they came and told them that, then told us 10 times over, 'Wherever you turn, they will attack us.'" So now they're afraid that there's people going to attack them, no matter where, whatever they do, they're going to come and get them. So this is Nehemiah now, and he says, "Therefore, I station some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. And after I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fights for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, and your wives in your home.'" Remember God. Remember who He is. Remember what He's done for you, and He's going to fight for you. So you fight. Fight for your families. Fight for your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plan, their plot, and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah. They were watching what was going on, who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other hand. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. This is Nehemiah talking. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is extensive and spread out, and we're widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us, and our God will fight for us." So if there's a problem here, come on over everybody and help us, and we'll fight them, and God will be with us, and we'll win. He's saying, don't worry, we got ways to pull this off. So we continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn until the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve as guards by night and workmen by day." This was a tough job. "Neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water." In other words, when they went to bed at night, they just slept in their clothes. They were ready at a moment's notice to get up and to fight. That's what they were thinking. They were ready to fight at any time. Then Nehemiah 6:15-16 says, "So the wall was completed on the 25th day in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, the people that they were fighting, all the surrounding nations were afraid, and their self-confidence was gone." They lost it. They lost their confidence. They lost that ability to try to instill fear. They instead were now afraid because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. God helped them in their fight. See, they were on a mission from God. Nehemiah had been called by God to rebuild the wall. All these people were doing their work. They were working as unto the Lord. They were working the will of God. They were doing what they were called to do, doing what they were supposed to do. And so they committed themselves to the job, and they determined that they were going to stand and fight no matter what happened. And so they fought their battle, and they won. And they knew it was because God was with them. There's always going to be battles. Right now, we're in the Middle East. We're fighting, you know, wars over there. We've got soldiers all over the world. We're fighting terrorism out there, here at home. There's a struggle going on. There's all kinds of problems going on. We talked about this woman's battle, Kim Davis. That's more of a spiritual thing. There's always something going on. There's always some kind of battle going on. But there is a much larger and more important war going on than any of these things we can see in the natural. Anything that we can read about in the newspaper. And this is a spiritual battle that's going on all around us. And it's one with eternal consequences. Life or death consequences, and it's called the fight of good against evil. And it's a battle. It's a real battle. Romans 12:21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So we're not supposed to let evil beat us up, let evil take us down, evil destroys. We're not supposed to let that happen. Instead, our job is to fight back. And from the vantage point of good, from doing God's will, according to God's word, we're supposed to overcome evil and make it come, turn it to good. This war, and it is a war, involves every one of us who calls ourselves a Christian, whether we want to fight or not. You know, a lot of people just, they think, "I don't want to fight. I want an easy life. Can't we all just get along? Why should we have to fight? Why should we have to deal with problems? Why should we have to deal with, you know, all these things going on? We just want this easy fight, but I got news for you. There's no easy life. From the day we're born into trouble. True Christianity demands that we be drafted. We don't get to sign up, we get drafted. We're called in. I mean, we can sign up, we can do it willingly, but basically, when we become a Christian, we enter into the battle. We become a soldier in the battle of good versus evil. From the day of our salvation until the day we leave this body behind and go up to heaven, we're going to be in that battle, one way or another. Whenever good is confronted by evil, there's always going to be some type of fight, some type of friction. And if we're not in the fight, there's two main reasons why. One would be that we've been captured and already disarmed, and we're a prisoner. We can't fight anymore. And the other would be, well, actually, probably two more. One would be that we're just all deceived, and the other one would be that we've given in. We just go along with it. And those would be the reasons why we wouldn't fight the good fight against evil. Jesus told us that he died to set the captives free. That's why he came here. He went to the cross, died on the cross so that he could set the captives free. Remember, it said he came to set the captives free, to free the prisoners, to give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. He came to rescue us, to release us, so that we would be free to fight the good fight. So really, that sort of leaves us with willingly giving in, which I would hope that we really don't want that. I mean, I don't think, is there anybody here who just really wants to willingly give in to evil and let evil just wash over you and take you down and that you don't do anything to stop it? When you think about it like that, I would hope you wouldn't want that. I certainly don't want that. But then sometimes we just don't think about, wow, that means we gotta fight it. Because it's not always just over there. Remember that old line that when they came for this one group of people, I didn't worry about it. Then they came for the next group of people and I didn't worry about them. Then they came for the next group of people, and we didn't worry about them. And then they came for me, and there was nobody left to fight for me. See, we're all in this together. We're all in it together. And if nobody fights, before you know it, they're throwing Christians in jail. But that would never happen in our country, would it? Never. Never in a million years, except last week. And believe me, it's going to happen more and more as time goes on. Because there is a war against Christians. First Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. There may not be a lot of fights that are good. I was never a fighter in terms of like getting into fights. Some people like to fight. I never liked to fight, but this kind of fight, this is a good fight. This fight, I'll join. This is the fight I want to be in. Our primary objective in this fight is to advance the kingdom of God. That's the thrust, the main thrust, our main focus. And that, by doing that, that means that we're going to overcome evil, we're going to set prisoners free, we're going to build the church, and we're going to save people from hell. Those are the side benefits of advancing the kingdom. Pretty lofty goals. I'm going to save souls. I'm going to build the church. I'm going to set captives free. You're going to set captives free? You're going to save souls? You're going to do these things. Yeah. Each one of us. Not just me. Not just him, not just her, but all of us. That's the fight we've been called to fight. And there's nobody here who's too young, too old, too feeble, too small, too weak, the wrong sex, the wrong color, the wrong age, wrong nothing. We're all called to fight. The good fight. The good fight. The good fight of faith. I said it, they're pretty lofty goals. It sounds like a lot. But you got to remember who our commander is. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our boss. That's our leader. I'll follow him. I'll follow him into any battle. Matthew 11:12 tells us that the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. Now, forceful people, to me, it just seems natural. If we're forceful, that means we're going to be willing to take a stand, right? To fight. The good fight for what it is. That doesn't mean we're fighting with our fists. It doesn't mean we're fighting with mean words or, you know, lawsuits or those kind of things all the time, although you never know. We may have to use some of those things. But that's not the kind of fighting I'm talking about. We're going to see in a few minutes how we can carry the fight on. But right now I want us to realize that we're already fighting every day of our lives. You may not have realized it, but you've been fighting all along. Don't we fight traffic during rush hour? Don't we fight to pay our bills? Don't we fight to get ahead in life, to, you know, to get our head up above water and try to stay there? Don't we fight to try to set aside something for later on? Don't we fight to protect our homes, our husbands, our wives, our children? We'll do whatever we have to. We'll fight to do those things. Don't we sometimes have to fight to stay close to God, to break through all the distractions and pray? Sometimes we have to fight just to get out of bed in the morning, don't we? Fight our aching joints, our aching bones. Sometimes we have to fight to stay awake when we're driving in our car, coming back from work. I don't see Ray in here right now. I think he went outside, stepped out for a minute, but he was telling me that, you know, he works out in Toledo, and sometimes he stays after so long to work, and when he comes back home, he's fighting to stay awake. Sometimes he has to pull over on the side of the road and take a nap so he can get home safely. See, we've all got these fights. We've had to fight most of our lives, and now what we need to do is train ourselves. Pastor Don mentioned the eyes of our hearts. We have to train ourselves to be able to discern the spiritual aspects of our fight, of our life, to see into the spirit realm, to be somehow aware of what's happening spiritually around us. So we can fight the good fight, because it's the most important fight of our life. Paul calls it the good fight, the Apostle Paul. So who are we fighting? Well, first off, let me say who we're not supposed to be fighting, and that's one another. It's unfortunate, but that does happen, and it shouldn't be. We're not supposed to fight one another. We shouldn't be fighting our own troops. Could you imagine what would happen in the military if they began to fight one another? And there comes the enemy, and then all of a sudden they all turn on one another and start fighting? It'd be chaos. It'd be disaster. We've got plenty of targets. We don't need to fight one another. God has pointed out three major enemies that each one of us, every one of us, are going to have to fight throughout our lives. Our flesh, our carnal nature, the world system, that this culture, the world system that's all around us, and the spiritual forces of evil that are truly out there, even though sometimes we may not think about them. Our most common enemy is our flesh. We all deal with it every day. We're always fighting the flesh. That's why Jesus said that In Luke 9:23, we have to take up our cross daily and follow him. In other words, he meant we have to crucify ourselves. We have to put down this self, this flesh, this carnal nature. We have to deal with it on a daily basis. We can't just think it's done one time. Just because we dealt with ourselves, because we got saved, oh, now my flesh is good. No, it's not. This flesh is going to be wanting its own way until the day I'm dead and buried. And every time I think I've beaten something down, it wants to keep coming back. That's why we have to take up our cross daily. It keeps coming back. You like The Walking Dead? That's us. That's our flesh. The fear of the walking dead. That's our flesh. Our carnal nature is prone to evil. Our heart is deceitful above all things. And it always wants the wrong things, it seems like. At least too often. We have to fight all kinds of stuff with this flesh. Doubt, fear, unbelief, anger, unforgiveness, divisiveness, rebellion, greed, all these things, our flesh just builds them up in us. The lusts of the flesh, the appetites of the flesh. And the list could go on and on and on, but I think you get the idea. This flesh wants what it wants, when it wants it, and we have to fight it. Because, and I'll say it again, I say it so often I can't believe it, but remember, we are not flesh with a spirit inside. We are spirit with this outside flesh covering. And our spirit really wants to please God. The spirit inside of us wants to do what's right, but this flesh is always trying to knock us down and cover it over, and so we have to fight this thing. Unfortunately, we got to keep the flesh around or we're not going to get anywhere. You know, that's how we walk, that's how we eat, that's how we do our job, that's how we get from here to there and do this and do that. So we keep this flesh, but we still got to deal with it and put it in its place. Otherwise, it gets us into all kinds of trouble. It really does. If we don't fight these things that come up in our flesh, what happens is eventually it consumes us. It overtakes us. I mean, who in here, think about this, who in here has not at one time or another in your life been overtaken by your emotions or your desires, and then you did something and you say, man, I shouldn't have done that. I knew I didn't want to do that, but I did. Has that ever happened to you? Where you did something you knew you didn't want to do, but in the heat of the moment, you did it. It happens to everybody. We're carried away by our own evil desires. It tells us that right in the Word. That's a quote. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans 7:21. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, that's what I was talking about, in our inner being, in our spirit, man, I delight in God's law. I think it's wonderful. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, in my mouth, my eyes, my ears, my tongue, my hands, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members or within me. See, Paul understands it, that there's this war going on inside of us. It's going on every day. We've all dealt with this. That's why we have to fight. That's why Jesus came to us. He said he came to set the prisoners free, sometimes from ourselves. The victory is ours, or at least it can be, if we keep up the good fight. The next area that we have to fight with is the world system. As a Christian living in this fallen world, we need to understand there is no neutral ground. You know, like in wartime, they go to Switzerland, where everybody has their money in the Swiss banks, and they don't attack Switzerland because everybody's got their money there. So you go to Switzerland, you're safe. But there's no neutral ground in the battle between good and evil. There's no safe place, not even church, where you think it's a sanctuary. Has anybody ever been in church and had a thought come in their mind that they didn't want there? Have you ever said something in church that you felt like, I shouldn't have said that? Have you ever done something? Of course we have. Because there's no neutral ground when it comes to the battle between good and evil. There's no easy, safe haven where all evil is banished for good. I wish. We could all go live there if there was. Every day that we live in this world, we're going to have to be aware of this fight and its influence in our lives. Just because society says something is good, just because it's lawful according to our current law, that doesn't make it good in the eyes of God. It's legal to have an abortion. Is that a good thing? No. There's all kinds of laws that have been bad. We have to watch out that we don't get sucked into the love of the things of this world. The Bible's very clear on that. And we can't serve both God and money or God and the things of this world. We're not of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not supposed to store up treasures on earth, but store up our treasures in heaven. There's 100 ways that God says it in His Word that this earth, this is not the thing that we're supposed to love and fight for. This is the thing we have to make sure doesn't take us over, this world system. We have to convert the world system, change it for good. That's our job. So that's why there has to be a fight, because we have to be the ones who turn it over towards good. If we're not involved in the fight, then the system gets worse and worse and worse. When Christians are involved in the fight, we can start pushing it back. We can. We can't let fear of the world or fear of the world's laughter at us or rejection of us, we can't let that rule us. We can't abandon our beliefs so that we can be liked by the world. The world is filled with all kinds of teachings and philosophies and culture and fads and entertainments and all kinds of things that are a direct contradiction to God and His Word. So we have to fight that influence so it doesn't take control of our life. The final enemy, the third one, is that we have to deal with the demonic realm. And that's a tough one. And I'll tell you why it's particularly tough, because it's so easy to dismiss it, to not believe it. That's one of Satan's great tricks, is to convince us he's not even real. Or he's not here. Or, you know, he's only down in hell, or, you know, over on downtown, or, you know, or someplace far away, out in Haiti maybe, you know, or something like that. And, oh, but he wouldn't be here in Melvindale, and he certainly couldn't be here in church, and no way would he bother me. I'm a Christian. Well, he does bother us. He bothered Jesus. Jesus was tempted by the devil in the desert, in the garden. So we know if he bothered Jesus, he's going to bother us. That's just part of being a Christian. And he hates us. He hates us. He hates the fact that we love God. He hates the fact that God loves us. So he hates us. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, to be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. In other words, he's saying, everybody here, your brothers and sisters all throughout the world, wherever they are, they're all being bothered by the devil. He's looking for ways to take you down. He's prowling about looking for some way to destroy you. Ephesians 6:12 spells it out nice and clear. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. We're fighting that. Ephesians 6:11 tells us that the devil has schemes against us. He plots against us. That's what schemes are. Schemes are plots, elaborate plans that he sets up to take you down. Sometimes plans that have been in existence for generations. They started with your parents, and then because of how your parents were, they passed on their problems to you, and now you're dealing with that problem, and he wants you to pass them on to your kids so they can pass them on to their kids so we can reject God all the way down the line. Somebody's got to put a stop to it. And that's us. That's why we fight. That's why it's called the good fight, because we stop the devil dead in his tracks. As a Christian, the devil or none of those spiritual evil beings has any power over us. They don't have any authority over us. But here's the thing. They understand our nature, the nature of a human, better than we do. They've been around a long time. And they know how to plot. They know how to scheme. They know how to catch us when we're down. They know how to whisper sweet little nothings into our ear that are really evil somethings. So how do we fight this battle? Well, it tells us in the Word that we don't fight with the weapons of this world. We don't fight as the world does. So we're not going to use guns. We're not going to use tanks. We're not going to use bombs. It's not going to be hand-to-hand combat. It's not going to be bayonets or knives. Our methods will seem totally unconventional. I got a list of our methods, and you say, that's a fight? Yeah, it is, because these are the things that we don't want to do when that thing comes against us, when that person comes against us. Do we want to love each other and even our enemies when they come against us? Of course not. Do we want to love when we don't feel like loving? Do we want to do the love in action when we're too tired and we're lazy? No. So how do we fight that? We do it. We love. We bear one another's burdens. We help those when they're struggling. That's another method for knocking down the flesh, the world system, and the devil. The truth, spoken in love. We tell the truth, God's truth, His Word, in love, even when it hurts. Even when it might cause someone else to get mad at you. Even when it might break up a relationship. If it's the truth of God, then we need to speak the truth, but in love. It's part of the battle plan. That's one of the methods that God's given us. Forgiving one another. Forgiveness. Somebody comes to you and asks to forgive you for forgiveness, we forgive them. 7 times 7. Or 70 times 7, which basically means as long as they ask. Giving of ourself. A lot of times we don't want to give ourself. But that's how we enter into the fight a lot of times, is by giving ourself when we don't want to. Going the extra mile when we're worn out, when we're tired, when we just don't have the time. Being faithful. Faithful when it's just too hard. Faithful when we get upset. Faithful when they don't appreciate me. Faithful when we've got our own excuses, but we still remain faithful. That's what a good soldier does. Being committed to one another and to the work at hand. That commitment there, it's sort of like faithfulness. Always seeking first the kingdom of God. What would God have me do? What would God's priorities be here in this situation? Persevering, not giving up. Going on through the tough times. Humility and repentance. Oh my gosh, that's one of the key things. We got to always humble ourselves. And how many times do we have to do it throughout our life? And then repent. That will save us from so much trouble. Self-sacrifice. Putting on the armor of God. That's the one, in fact, right there. It says, put on the armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. Of all the things that we know that we need to fight, use to fight, the Word of God is number one. Everything is in there that we need. Every tool is basically somehow shown to us. It helps. We're trained through the use of it. We're exposed to it. We learn about it. We learn to understand it through the Word of God. That's like our boot camp. That's our training. That's how we learn it all. Through prayer. Through spending time with God. These are all the things that, these are our weapons. Prayer. Getting into the presence of God. Getting strengthened by Him. Getting insight by Him. Letting the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and direct us and lead us into all truth. Always. The Holy Spirit's always involved in what we're doing with God and for God. And in that battle, in that fight, in that good fight, the Holy Spirit is essential. He's the one who empowers us. He's the one who leads us. He's our guy here, like the we have our Lord and Commander that's over the whole battle, but He's like our sergeant. He's right there with us, yelling in our ear, except He whispers. If you were in the military, you had somebody yelling at you. The Holy Spirit's different. It's that still, small voice telling us when to turn to the right or to the left. Worship. Just worshiping God will sometimes bring us right into His presence and strengthen us. See, these are the methods. These are the weapons. These are not the weapons of the world. These are the weapons of the kingdom. These are God's ways to fight against evil. We're fighting the good fight, so we use good weapons. We're supposed to be shrewd. Wise as serpents, even, it says, but harmless as doves. So we do fight, but we use the right stuff. Those are the same weapons used by Jesus, used by the apostles, used by all the successful Christians down through the centuries. The ones who had the biggest impact, the ones who accomplished the most for the kingdom of God, were the ones that used these weapons and learned how to be good at using them. A weapon doesn't do us much good if we don't know how to use it. It's got to become part of us. We have to put our trust in God, in His provision, in His Holy Spirit. This is a fight of faith. A fight of faith. It's all based upon faith. 1 John 5:4 says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." You see, we have to believe in these things. We have to know that they're real, that God is behind them, that they are true, that they can accomplish something. And not just say, "Oh, that's just Pastor John talking about his stuff up there." Or some guy on the radio. Or that's just what I read in that book. No, that's the Word of God. Every one of those things that I read came out of the Word of God. Our faith in God is the reason that we fight in the first place. That's the reason that we're involved in this whole thing. That's why we're here today. We have a faith in God. And because we have this belief in God, because we have faith in God, we want His way. We want to see His way, around the world. And so, because it's not in so many ways, we've been called to help bring it about. And that's our fight. And so that's why we fight in the first place, because we have this faith in God. And the stronger our faith, the more faith we have in God, the stronger we will fight. The more we know God, the more we're going to fight. Because the more we know God, the stronger our faith. Our faith is based on a relationship with God. As we get to know Him, and we see what He's like, what He wants, what He desires, we see how great and awesome He is and what He could accomplish on this land. We see what He has accomplished in people's lives, and we say, I want that. I want that for my family, for my church, for my community, my work. I'm willing to fight for that, to bring it into that place. We can take that ground right here. Knowing God is what gives us the will to fight. The more we believe in and trust Jesus, the more earnestly we will fight. Knowing God, knowing that He loves you, that He really does care about you, that He provides for you, that He will protect you, that He's filled you with His Holy Spirit, is the secret to being a successful warrior. So it's all based on knowing God, getting close to Him, building up that faith. It's not by our might or our power that we're going to ever be a good fighter for the kingdom, a good battle warrior, a good soldier. I don't have it within me to do that, to accomplish what God would want to accomplish. But with God's Spirit inside of me, He empowers me to fight. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, sums it up very nicely. And the prayer team, if you want to come on up, because I'm just wrapping it up right here. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes out with you to fight for you against your enemies and give you victory." The Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. That's everything I've said in a nutshell right there. Our fighting will never, ever be in vain. Our victory has been assured if we hold on to what we know is true. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we, you know, walk in His Word, if we follow after His Word, our victory was assured when Jesus sacrificed Himself on the cross, when He overcame sin and death. His victory is our victory. It's true. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all there. If Christ is in us, if we've given our heart to God and we've received the Holy Spirit, God says, I'll put the fight in you. I'll give you the power. I'll go out with you. I'll fight for you. I will assure you the victory. Just go do it. Just be open to my leading and just go do it. God can accomplish amazing things through you, miraculous things through you. Don't sell yourself short. We've been called, and I use this term before, world changers. We've been called to be world changers. World changers. You, me, world changers. That's what you were designed to be, a world changer. Just not poor little old me that can't accomplish anything. That's not true. That's a lie. God's given you so much, so very much. And He says He'll be there with you. He'll fight for you, He'll fight with you, and He'll give you the victory. So let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord God, that You put Your fight in us, Lord God. Lord, we know that just as Paul said, that when we want to do something good, sometimes we see that evil is right there beside us and we just can't seem to pull it off. But then later on he realized that he was no longer under that spirit of death. Later on he realized that he also had the victory in Jesus Christ. He was no longer under the spirit of condemnation, but now under the spirit of life. And that's where we are. God, we thank you that you have brought us into your family, that you have filled us with the Holy Spirit, the spirit of life, that you've given us your word, that you've given us all these different methods to fight the good fight, that you've given us our victory that has been assured in Jesus Christ. God, I pray that every one of us would see ourselves as a warrior, a soldier, victorious, a world changer. Each one of us advancing the kingdom throughout our life. Never going backwards, not looking back, but putting our hand to the plow and pressing on towards the mark of our high calling, going forward in victory. Thank you, Jesus, that you make it possible. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing in us, Lord God. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each person here today and all those who hear this word. Lord, we ask for your blessing to be poured out here. Bless the prayer that goes on here after the service, Lord God. I pray for your anointing to be upon the prayer team, the food upstairs, Lord God, the fellowship. And this whole day, we bless it all, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Thanks for coming out today. We do have coffee and donuts upstairs, so stick around. Fellowship, thanks for coming out. God bless you. Have a great day. And happy Labor Day.
Coming for the heart that holds on, a glorious light beam.